Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand. I ask you, Father, that the Holy Spirit would move and work in our hearts and lives. Lord, that you would give us that revelation in the knowledge of you. Lord, to see things, Lord, that we've never seen before. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about perspective. Perspective is a strange thing. Everybody has their own way of looking at things. It's one of the reasons sometimes we don't understand other people, is because we got a different perspective than they do. It's amazing how much of a difference, though, your perspective can make in your life. And when you change your perspective, or you get a new perspective, what a drastic change that simple thing can make in your life. Gary Thomas wrote an article in Christianity Today where he said that thinking about eternity helps us gain perspective. He said, I'm reminded of this every year when I figure my taxes. During the year, I rejoice as the paychecks and extra income come in. And sometimes I flinch when I write out the tithe and offering check. I do my best to be a joyful giver, but I confess it's not always easy, especially when there are other perceived needs and wants. At the end of the year, however, all that changes. I'm figuring my tax liability. I wince at every source of income and rejoice with every tithe and offering check. More income means more tax. But every offering and tithe means less tax. Everything is turned upside down, or perhaps more appropriately, right side up. I suspect Judgment Day will be like that. I suspect it will too. Jesus said, the last will be first. The first will be last. It's a principle of the kingdom. And it's amazing how there's going to be a lot of things that are turned right side up at Judgment Day. But perspective. You don't have to wait until Judgment Day to get a different perspective. Sometimes we just need a new perspective. Not a new car, not a new house, not a new spouse, not even a new church. We just need a new perspective. It's easy to get into a rut. You know, it's popular today to be, you know, cool and cutting edge, and we like to think of ourselves as, well, rutless. But the truth is that most of us don't like change. And we can find ourselves in a rut. And you know, a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. And, you know, over time, if you don't intentionally get a new perspective sometimes, you'll find yourself in a rut. You know, in the old days when they used wagons for transportation during the rainy season, the wagons would make ruts, and the ruts would just get deeper and deeper until finally the ruts would be so deep that the axles of the wagon would bottom out and they'd be stuck. And I'm telling you, your life can get stuck if you don't get out of that rut. And sometimes you got to get out of your wagon and get a new perspective in order to get out of the rut. Shoe salesman goes to a remote area where there's nobody but a bunch of hillbillies. And he calls home to the corporate office and he says, "This is crazy. Nobody here wears shoes. I'm coming home." They send another guy. He calls home and he says, "This is crazy. It's fantastic. Nobody here has shoes yet. It's just a matter of perspective. I mean, you can see this every day on the news. Different perspectives. You can see it all day long on Facebook. Everybody has their opinion and a different perspective. One of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And, you know, it's a heartwarming Christmas story about a man that has just come to the end of his rope. He's been accused of things that he didn't do, and it looks like he's going to be bankrupt and even face criminal charges. And he gets really, really angry, and he treats his wife and kids bad and everybody else. And he leaves and he goes out and he decides that the world would just be better off without him. And then an angel comes and gives him a rare gift, where he gets to see the world if he had never been born. And everything is so dark and gloomy and sad in that world. And his wife is sad and never married. There's so many things about that alternate reality that were so disturbing to him. And all he wants to do is get back to his real life. And when that finally happens, he is so full of joy. He's running around hugging everybody, kissing everybody. Now, nothing has changed in his life. He still has the same problems. He's still in big trouble. But there's one thing that did change: his perspective. How did that happen? It's just perspective. Now, if you know the movie, you know the end of the story is that it all worked out. All of his friends came together and paid off the debt that was owed, and everything was taken care of, and it was all good. But that's not what changed his attitude. No, it was just his that matter of perspective. And I'm telling you that in your life, your perspective can really mess you up, or it can really put you over. And the only difference for him between wanting to die and being overjoyed was perspective. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people that need a new perspective. Most people think that it is the cards that life has dealt them that determine whether or not they have a good life. And that's what most people think. It's not the cards. It's the eyes. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. Some of you are wondering, is he going to use any scripture? You know I am. Listen, I can assure you, the word perspective is not in the Bible, but you see the principle over and over. Here it is from Jesus. He says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Anybody got bad eyes? Listen, he's not talking about your physical eyes. He's not talking about that you need to go to the eye doctor. He's not talking just about your physical body. He is talking about the way that you see things. And he is talking about not just your body, but your whole life. You see, if you have the right perspective, if you have a God perspective, if you have a good perspective, you see, then your whole life is going to be full of light. But if you have a negative, worldly perspective, I'm telling you, your whole life is going to be full of dark. There's bad things that happen in our world. And there's bad people in our world. And we have an enemy, an adversary. But I want to tell you, it's not all bad. Psalm 33:5 says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Did you know that? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Well, I don't see that. You ain't looking. You're not looking at the right things. Oh, there's a lot of bad in this world. But I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of good. Psalm 52:1 says, the goodness of God endures continually. You know, Jesus looked at every circumstance with this kind of a perspective. All things are possible with God. Oh, that's a good perspective. Because I'm telling you, we see all kinds of challenges, all kinds of battles and struggles and impossibilities. But not with God. All things are possible with God. And I'm telling you, as a Bible-believing Christian, we ought to always have that perspective that all things are possible to him who believes. That faith perspective. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7 says, Jesus passed by, saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but... Now, how many of you think that him and his parents never, ever sinned? It's just funny how people get with the Word of God. Anyway, Jesus is talking about, this isn't why this happened. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Now, the disciples had a different perspective. They saw this man born blind, and since he was born blind, they said, whose fault is this? Who sinned? Who's to blame here? This man or his parents? Jesus says, neither. This happened for the glory of God. That's a different perspective. You see, we see all of the problems in our world. And I want to tell you, Christian, the answer is not, well, whose fault is this? You know, I think a lot of it is Washington. I think it was that president, or maybe it's this new president, or I think a lot of our problems is Hollywood. You know what's wrong with the world today? Well, it's these sorry parents and the way they raise their kids. I mean, you could just go on and on and on about whose fault it is and who deserves the blame. You know what Jesus would say? With God, all things are possible. We got an answer. See, we can focus on the problems and try to accuse and blame, or we can have a different perspective. Maybe this happens for God to do a work and for God to be glorified. That's a totally different perspective. How we need to see that way, the way that Jesus sees. You see, one way, I can tell you, it's full of darkness. Yuck. You see, you listen to that, you focus on that, all that yuck will fill you up. That's right. Y'all learned something tonight. Yuck. That's what it is. Bunch of yuck. You focus on the world, see the world's way of thinking, the world's perspective, it'll fill your life up with yuck. But you focus on things the way that Jesus did, that all things are possible, that God wants to do a work here. See a solution instead of somebody to blame. Jesus saw the blindness as temporary. You know, we need to learn to see problems as temporary. That's a new perspective. He saw the answer. Too often we just see the problem. When you face battles, maybe even things that, you know, sometimes we not just have a battle. Sometimes it seems like we lost the battle. I mean, seeming defeats. And when those things happen, I know that it's difficult. But we need to try to see those things from God's perspective. Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Now, the knowing here is a matter of perspective. It's, you see, when you know this, you have a different perspective. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. See, if you really have that perspective, that God is going to work everything together for my good, it changes everything. There is no more gloom, despair, and agony on me. No. Because no matter what's going on, we know that our God is sovereign. We know that He is almighty. And we know there's not anything that He can't do. And there's not anything that He can't fix. That He can work it all together for our good. It may look like a curse, but I'm telling you, God can turn it for good. You know, when you think about Joseph, can you imagine his perspective? Looking up from the bottom of a well that his brothers threw him into. Can you imagine his perspective as he watches as his brothers sell him as a slave? Can you imagine his perspective as he is then falsely accused and thrown into prison? Can you imagine his perspective when he helps somebody and then they forget about him? But years down the road, he says to his brothers, you meant it for harm, but God meant it for good. What an amazing thing. You got anybody being mean to you? Maybe like Joseph. Nobody can be mean like family. That's right. I mean, your loved ones, the people you're closest to, they can hurt you the worst. But if you got somebody being mean to you, maybe God means it for good. And you say, oh, well, there's no way, preacher. You're crazy. I just know what the Bible says. And you need this perspective that whatever man can do to you, God can turn it for good. Not only your good, but how about Joseph? God turned it not only for Joseph's good, but for his whole family's good and for the whole known world's good. That's a pretty big good. But I'm sure that when it was happening, it didn't seem too good. It's just a matter of perspective. It was a flood in Mozambique in the year 2000, and families were separated as they fled from the rising waters, and there was a lot of people that died, a lot of destruction that happened. But one minister named Samuel Naftal said that he gave thanks to God and mosquitoes for saving his life. Now, Samuel Naftal, along with 16 other people, said that they clung tightly to the limbs of trees for 2 days. And while they did, he began to preach. And all of them were hoping that his preaching would keep them alert and awake as they waited. They listened and they watched as furniture and televisions and dead cows floated by. And then mosquitoes started swarming around them, biting them over and over. He testified, I thank God for those mosquitoes because they kept me from falling asleep. If we had fallen asleep, we would have been carried away by the water. Anybody ever said, why did God make mosquitoes? Perspective. This man actually believed that God used mosquitoes to save their life. And he thanked God for them. It's just perspective. And you know, sometimes, like Joseph, it's down the road that you can see clearly with perspective. But I'm telling you, as people of faith, we need to trust God. We need to know that one way or another, that God is able to bring us through to victory. I want to say this very clearly. We're talking about how you look at your life, how you look at the world, how you look at those around you. You know, the only difference between a complainer and a grateful person is perspective. It has very little to do with what you have. See, most Americans think, well, I would be really happy if I had a little more. I can assure you, there are many, many rich people who are not grateful. And I have known people who had very, very little, and they were grateful people. It's amazing. It has nothing to do with how much you have. Now we see, we're so wired and so geared by that world's way of thinking, that worldly perspective. We think, no, it's all about how much you have. No, it's not. At Thanksgiving, we always say, oh, us here in this country, we have so much to be thankful for. But do you realize that people in third world countries who just have food to eat and just clothes to wear, that some of them are more thankful than we are? We think that our thankfulness, our gratefulness, is about our circumstance, but it's not. It's about your perspective. You know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and God fed them every day, provided for them miraculously every day, and yet they weren't thankful. They complained. Their perspective was wrong. They started saying, oh, we want to go back to Egypt where we could have those onions again. You know, 400 years of hard slavery, but we want to go back there. What is wrong with these people? And sometimes we can almost be like that, where God has blessed us, He's taken care of us, and we get so used to His provision that we don't even appreciate it. It's just a matter of perspective. In everything, give thanks. How do you do that? Well, you got to have the right perspective. One guy has a car, and it's got 100,000 miles on it. And he's like, man, I got to get rid of this thing, 100,000 miles. This old bomb, I got to get rid of it quick. I'm going to get me a new car. He takes it and he trades it in, gets him a new car. Another guy comes on the lot and he sees that car. The dealer cleans it up, you know, has a wax job put on it and detailed out and puts it out on the lot. Another guy comes on the lot and he's like, wow, look at that thing. Wow, that's really nice. That's the car I want. I'm going to get that car. And he takes it home, and he's so proud of that car. He's so happy to have it. What's the difference? Nothing but perspective. Some of you thinking, oh, I wish I had a new car. You realize how many people would like to have your car? Where are they? I'll sell it to them. No, I'm just telling you, it is all about perspective. See, most of the time, our old human nature, we just tend to look at things negatively, and it's so easy. That old sinful nature always looks at the bad. Think about third world countries. You know, when people go to third world countries on a missions trip, I'm not talking about going, you know, to lay out on the beach. But when you go and you go to where the people actually live in those third world countries, it is life-changing because it gives you a different perspective. And you see that, you know, those people would be thrilled to have a fourth of what we have or a tenth of what we have. They, you know, and it gives you, it just changes the way you view things because your perspective is forever changed. Are you rich? Three of you are starting to understand. You are so rich. We are so rich in Christ. Forget about all the material things as if that's not enough, but oh, how blessed we are. We're so very, very rich. And we need to always have this perspective. For the Lord is good. Psalm 100 and verse 5. There's a great perspective. That you always keep your view of God right. In this world, so many people, and it doesn't matter if they call themselves Christian or not, are so messed up because they don't have the right perspective of who God is. Somehow or another, you know, they've got so much of the philosophies of the world and even the religious teachings of men mixed into their view of God. They don't have a true perspective, a biblical perspective of who God is. And it so messes them up. I love this verse, Deuteronomy 32 and 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. I don't understand why God did this. Listen, don't blame God for what wicked men and the devil do. But his work is perfect. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. I'm telling you, we may not understand, but we need to always remember his work is perfect. Sometimes, you know, we think we're going through so much and how can we be joyful? How can we have, you know, like Pastor's talking about, a good perspective? Well, just remember Job. None of us has been through as much as Job, and yet God brought him through. And James 1, 2 through 4, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now that's a different perspective, isn't it? Count it joy when you have trouble? Knowing that the testing, there's one of those knowing again. You see, knowing, it's talking about perspective. When you know this, it changes your perspective. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And sometimes we just have to focus down the road, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I mean, when you're running this race, I'm telling you, there's a lot of times when the circumstances are hard and difficult. But when you keep this perspective, your eyes on Jesus, that makes the difference. You got to know that it gets better. Psalm 27 and 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's saying, I would have given up. But I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You got to walk by faith, not by sight. That's perspective. Why should I worry when the sparrow watcher is watching me? I don't have any reason to worry. My God is the sovereign Lord of the universe. He is Almighty God. Different perspective. What do we think God is doing when we struggle? looking the other way. Anybody ever have a hard time with people? We do, don't we? Are you at odds with somebody? We've all been there. But sometimes, you know what we need? A change of perspective. Your fight is not with flesh and blood. Well, that person is so mean. They just act ugly. They say ugly things. You need a new perspective. You know, the missionary that came home from dealing with the tribe of cannibals that wanted to boil him in hot water, he doesn't think those people are so mean that you're talking about. Perspective. I'm telling you, perspective will mess you up if you don't get it right. See, what's old? You know, it's pretty funny in the office. You know, Jonathan is 31 and Will is 32, and they were describing somebody, one of y'all, no doubt, to me one day, and they said, they're older people. They're like in their 50s, and I was like, hey. You know, they try to recover, like, Carmen was there too, you know, and they're like, well, you know, y'all are real young 50s, though. I'm like, what's old? See, here's how this works. See, a lot of people think they're too old. I was going to tell you, I've said it many times over the years, but listen, if you think that you have gotten to retire from the work of the Lord, you have been called back out of retirement. There is a wealth of knowledge and wisdom and ability that is lying dormant in the church because people decided they're too old. What a horrible perspective. Tell that to Caleb. At 85 years old, he says, give me this mountain where those giants are. I'm ready to take it. That's a different perspective. It works the other way. It works that way all the time. And you know what? We feed into this a lot. What's too young? See, a lot of us, we think young people, you know, they'll grow up someday. Do you realize how many times in Scripture God used a teenager? Jeremiah tried it. He said, God calls him as a prophet, and Jeremiah says, I'm only a child. And God says, do not say to me, I'm only a child. See? But you know where they get that? A lot of times they get it from us. Same thing happened to David. David says, I'll go out and fight this giant. And Saul says, he's a fighting man from his childhood, and you're just a youth. You're just a youth. Yeah, just a youth that has killed a lion and a bear. But David had a different perspective. It wasn't just because he killed a lion and a bear. It was because he knew that this was the Lord's fight. And he knew that he was going in the name of the Lord and that God was going to take care of things. See, he had a different perspective. But I want to make the point to you. You know, most of us, there's a very short window here. You're either too young or too old. Or maybe you get to be just right for a few years. It is all a lie of the devil. Stupid, stupid perspective to think you're too young or you're too old. And I'm not saying that there's not some things that require a certain age. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you're 57 that you're going to go play for the Dallas Cowboys. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just telling you that in the kingdom, we need to keep a right perspective. Now, I just talked about age. It could be a whole lot of things. You need the right perspective. Don't limit God. Keep your eyes on Him. 5 minutes. Four things. Now, I hope you understand a little bit about how to have a right perspective already from the message this far, but I want to tell you four very simple, very clear things that you can do to get a right perspective. The first one is the least spiritual, at least it sounds that way, but it can be very practical and very powerful. The right friends. I'm not telling you not to associate with people that, you know, that are not way up here. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that you need people in your life that can tell you the truth. Listen to me. See, what we tend to do is we get friends who think just like us. I mean, if you disagree with me, well, I don't like you. That's the culture of the day. Guess what? If all your friends think just like you, they have the same perspective as you. And sometimes you need a different perspective. See, when you say, oh, this is so hard and it's just so bad and I don't know what I'm going to do, and your friend says, yeah, it is, it's really sad, I'm just so sorry for you. How did that help you? You need a different perspective. Maybe you need, well, let's just believe God. Or maybe you need, well, you know, you're not handling this right. Sometimes you need some, iron sharpens iron. You need friends that will challenge you and give you a different perspective. You need friends that will encourage you. You know, when you're down, you need friends that will give you that faith perspective. But I'm just telling you, friends is a good way to change your perspective if you got the right friends. Number two, now, priority-wise, I'd put this one first. But anyway, pray. God is able to give you a new perspective. And you know, when you just get your eyes on Jesus, it's amazing how things start to change. You know, all things are possible to him who believes. And so if you're really praying in faith, then your view of things begins to change. Mountains start, well, you figure out while you're praying, gee, that's not such a mountain, that's more like a molehill. You know, as you're praying, you start realizing that there's not anything God can't do, you know, and the more that you pray, the more you talk to God, I'm just telling you, you get a different perspective talking to God. Number three, the Word. It will renew your mind. It will cause you to see things God's way. Y'all give me 3 extra minutes. Okay, 4 extra minutes. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's a perspective. God is watching over me. He is leading me and guiding me. He is taking care of me. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. It literally says it this way. I don't want anything. Oh, well, he wasn't in my place. He didn't understand my situation. Oh, yes, he had a different perspective. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He had peace and contentment, restores my soul. How about this one? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear, because you're with me. There's perspective. See, what are you going through? Is God with you? That's perspective. Now the Word reminds us, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know what? A lot of people have a wrong perspective of God. They think they're afraid of the rod and staff. David knew that they were a comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You got any enemies? God can just bless you until your cup runs over right in front of your enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Wow, there's a perspective. Oh, woe is me. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Always after me. Well, maybe you need to change your perspective. Goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, another time when David was so down and depressed, he said, until I went into the sanctuary. And that takes us to the next one, the last one. Sometimes you just need to start praising God. All of us have had those times when it just seemed like the Lord didn't care. Psalm 77, I cried unto God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. You been there? I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. By the way, that happens a lot. You complain, your spirit gets overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I've considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart. My spirit makes a diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? A lot of questions here. Do you know when people have a bad perspective, that's usually what they do is they start questioning. Has he in his anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my anguish. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. Let me just ask you something. Has God ever healed you? Has God ever delivered you? Has God ever forgiven you and shown you mercy? Has he ever just really, really blessed you? You see, you need to go back. You need to think about those things. You need to praise God. Praise him for who he is, but also praise him for his mighty works and all the things that he's done. And you know what? Sometimes it's just a matter of perspective. I mean, can you imagine how the leper felt when Jesus healed him? I mean, he got his life back. He could go back with his family now. He could work again. He could live a real life. He could touch other people. How he must have felt. Well, that's cool for the leper. Have you ever been a leper? Well, how lucky are we? Blessed. How about the demoniac to be free? How about the drug addict to finally be free? Let me ask you something. Have you ever been a demoniac? You ever been filled with demons? You ever been hopelessly bound with drugs? Well, if you have, oh man, you got something to be thankful for. What about the rest of us? You got double to be thankful for. And it's just a matter of perspective. We just need to praise God. Who? I will meditate all your work. I will talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people. I'm going to stop there, but I just got to tell you, just begin to praise him. Just begin to thank him. Just start going over. You see, you just start talking about who he is. My defender and my strong tower, my shepherd, my deliverer, my redeemer, oh, my friend. See, you just start talking about who God is. My peace, my righteousness. If you just praise him, it'll change your perspective. I love you. I appreciate you being here tonight. Stand with me. Let me just pray over you as you go, all right? Father, I just thank you for your people, and I pray, Lord, as we go out in this dark world, Lord, that we would truly be a light in a dark place because of the light that's in us. May our eyes ever be on you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you.